This is Tommy Howell, and you're listening to Bat and Spider. This week's episode, Goku, Midnight Eye.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you. We're trying something new this week.
It was really great of Tommy to do that bumper for us. I love the little sound effect he put in there, like the, what are those things called? Rolling down the street in Wild West towns?
Yeah, you're right. The tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed sounds. Yeah.
The tumbleweed. The one signifier of country and country rock, country music, Nashville. Yeah.
Wagon wheels.
You know?
The Nashville Highway.
We're obviously talking about country singer Tommy Howell, country rock, country singer. You know the one. You heard him at the front of the episode. Mistaken.
You could smell his hat through the audio.
Yeah, and we're forever grateful for that smell.
I love when Tommy, you know, he can line up 10 Budweisers on the brim of that hat. And he plays Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry with all the Budweisers balancing up there. It's incredible.
Now, I mean... We just went there to get the soundbite from him, but you can't help but talk about the concert that he puts on, Chuck.
Art.
The performance alone.
It grabs you.
And it doesn't let go. Like one of his songs. Like that's number 3 on his album, his latest album. Grab and Don't Let Go. Ode. It's an ode, you know? Yeah. Makes you think. But super grateful for...
Yeah. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy, for doing that. That's we really appreciate that, everybody. He did request that nobody tag him on social media when they do share when they do share Bat and Spider. It was specifically and special for us. So when you guys do share the show, we're forever grateful for that. But please do not tag Tommy.
Tommy's a great guy. He did it for us. It was a personal favor. So don't be bugging him about it. Don't go ask him. Yeah. Hey. How do you know the Bat and Spider guys? He's just going to be like, he might be gruff with you. That's just Tommy, you know, just don't buckle.
Yeah, exactly.
He's on his own trip, man. You know,
you want to have that kind of conversation. You buy a ticket to one of his shows.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we can say about that. And as was mentioned this week on the show, we watched Goku Midnight Aya. This is where I insert a quote. I'm wasting so much time. I'm going to have to edit all this dead air out. God. We watched Goku Midnight Eye, and it's our first anime here on the show.
Mm. Yeah.
Chuck, I want to strangle you because you're always, you're like, I'm just so proud. I'm just so proud of you. I'm watching these episodes, and it's like, he's done it again, folks. That's what I think to myself. And, you know, we're going to get into that when it's that time, probably in 5 minutes from now, because, you know, what do we have to talk about this week?
I mean, we already talked about Tommy, which took up the last 7 days of our lives driving to Nashville and back. So,
I'm exhausted.
We've been in the car with each other that long, and we have nothing left to say, you know? The only thing we couldn't talk about was Goku Midnight Eye episodes 1 and 2. But other than that, we are sick to death of each other.
Yeah. You know the motto, save it for the show.
Yeah.
It's like, so we got to find other things to talk about. And I still have to vacuum out the car. I haven't done that yet.
Oh man, it did not smell nice. After day 4, what happened there?
I went to the movies last night.
Oh, good. What'd you see?
Well, breaking news. I went to go see Violent Night starring David Harbour.
You saw a Christmas movie, but is it horror?
I did.
Christmas?
It's like an action. It's like action. Okay. It's action.
And your report? Report card?
My report is...
Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah, she's in this movie. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
Go on.
Right. Ellen Griswold is in this movie. I love the movie, Chuck. And, you know, we're not ones for, you know, speaking topical, getting topical with movies that are 2 days old.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the search engine optimization of these show notes are probably going to propel this episode to the number one listened episode of all time.
Especially if we rename
what a fun romp.
The title of the show, Violent Night. Oh,
that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
That won't happen.
And maybe at the bottom of the maybe at the bottom of the show notes, I just put in Goku Midnight High somewhere. You know? I recommend if folks, you know, I wasn't sold on it by the trailer alone. If it was just the trailer of the movie, I probably wouldn't have rushed to the movies to go see it. But obviously, you know, I went with my friend Brian Rummel, YouTube's Brian Rummel, and God, we had a blast watching this movie. It's sopping. It's soaking wet with Christmas spirit.
So they took the Christmas element seriously.
They did, which was very awesome because everything in this movie is in the vein of a Christmas spirit. It's in the vein of a Christmas spirit. God. Yeah, it's a blast, this movie. It's you know, Santa Claus is going down the chimney of a little girl named Trudy's house, and her family is super dysfunctional. But you know, some terrorists. Do I say that?
What kind of terrorists?
Money terrorists.
Money terrorists.
I don't know.
The description says bad a guys, team of mercenaries.
Right, mercenary terrorists bust in and try to rob the family blind. They're like
rich family.
They're like the Rockefellers. Yeah, they're like they're, you know, but but just so happens, you know what? There's a little girl, Trudy, who happens to believe in Santa Claus when all this is going down. So Santa has to do his damnedest to help the little girl that still believes.
So Santa in this movie is real. Is that what you're telling me?
Santa, it's real. It's really, wow. Santa Claus.
That's big.
Yeah.
Played by David Harbour.
And yeah, and there is some, what's cool is you get a little bit of backstory to Santa Claus's life before he was Santa Claus. Yeah. That kind of, you know, helps the cause.
Was he a former mercenary?
He was a former Viking mercenary. He was a Viking.
Wow.
Chuck.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoilers. I don't know if I should I leave that in? I mean, this movie's 2 days old.
Do it.
No, this movie's 2 days old.
Nobody's going to see this. It's fine.
Chuck!
What?
But it's, I had a great time with this movie. I mean, the everything from the score to just the little bit of elements that make it like it's like a magical Christmas movie, but it's hyper violent.
Really?
Yes, yeah. I think it's but in the end it's a feel good movie.
Cool,
and that's what Christmas movies do in the end.
Wow,
am I the worst at trying to review movies, Chuck? I see your face.
No, well you're
looking at your face.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean my jokes. I'm trying to get you to spoil things, but I know you're trying to not spoil things. No, I don't know. I don't know what to think of this movie. I don't know.
I know. I didn't either. I highly recommend it. It's a fun movie and it makes me happy. A movie like this just makes me happy that movie studios are still willing to take chances on a movie like this. It's like a movie out of time.
Yeah. I mean, who made it? Sorry, you weren't prepared to answer that question.
I don't, I mean, I watch movies. I don't know movies. I think a couple of the producers of John Wick.
IMDb Pro, get out of my face.
Helped get this movie made.
Okay, so it is, all right, so you got some action movie producers. All right, okay. Now, Dale, I have a question for you. Besides Violent Night, have you watched any Christmas movies yet? Because it is now, as we record this, December 5th, so we are, you know, we're getting into the season. It's happening.
Yeah. we're getting into the season, and I have already had my initial viewing of National Lampoon's Christmas
Oh,
Vacation.
You did? Oh, wow. Jeez.
I have. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to wait. Oh, yeah. I have to wait much closer. I have not watched any Christmas movies yet.
Hmm.
But it'll happen.
And that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's. I think you're going to start to get the feel. You're going to get the feeling in your jellies.
Yeah, I have to wait for the feeling.
Very soon.
The jelly. Yeah.
Yeah.
My plums need to dance.
Sleigh ride, sugar cookie, tea, mm-hmm. Chuck, you know, maybe put your feet up. Maybe you already see what's streaming so you don't have to get back out of the chair and fumble through your discs.
Yeah. Get a Santa hat on.
To put something in a player.
Wear a Santa hat?
Get a Santa.
Big robe?
Yeah.
Big toasty robe, yeah. Maybe a cat on my lap.
Mm-hmm. One slipper on, one slipper off because your feet are sweating. God, but so if you hot. Take your slippers yeah. off, they're cold.
Trying to take one off without disturbing the cat. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christmas time, baby. I haven't watched anything, Dale. I've watched probably 20 episodes of Real Housewives of New Jersey with my soulmate. And I think that's it. I want to watch a Hong Kong action movie, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah. If the feeling wasn't there, Chuck, I want to do a lot of things, but the feeling's not there.
Maybe
you know?
I need to start going to the movie theaters again, you know?
Nah.
No.
Nah. It's Chuck. It's dark at 4:30 PM.
Oh, God.
What? If you get a 6 o'clock showing, if you're out, it's going to feel like 2 AM by the time you get out of that movie. And it's a 6 o'clock.
I was
showing.
Waiting for the mail to come today. And it came like 2 hours after it got dark. And I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
This poor mail carrier.
It's not cool. Yeah.
The circadian rhythms in that mail truck are just topsy turvy.
Yeah. Those metal boxes. There's absolute metal boxes. There's zero dash lighting in those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's awful.
No creature comforts. Dale, have you ever had, do you, let me ask you another question. Do you put any padding on your driver's seat in your vehicles that you drive? For comfort or anything?
No, but I thought about it.
Because I've noticed my car, like, I feel like I'm always hunching, and I think it's because I'm like, my back's too large for the design of the seat. Like, it pushes my shoulders forward, so I always feel like my back is like filling up the cavity in there. I was like, maybe I should get something to plug that hole, or... I used to see those people with like the wooden... beads ones. I've always been intrigued by those. I wonder how those feel.
I think people were onto something back then, and that's why they sold them.
Yeah. Maybe I'll look into that. The wood prices right now. I mean, I'm probably looking at.
Oh, no way.
5G is there for a beaded driver's seat cover.
You would come out the next morning to see broken windows and and your wooden beaded seat cover stolen. Because of wood prices. God.
It reminds me, Instagram showed me this reel of this guy. He's like, what's it called? It's like Russian wooden rod massage. It's this big Russian guy. He's got these two wooden, like blunt sticks, very smooth, finished. And he's just going to town on people's spines, on either side of the spine, using all his strength. Mm. Using these wooden things on. I'd never seen anything like it.
That's probably just like popping things loose, God, right?
I know, but what if it, what
it's
if
probably
it feels
releasing
good?
Like.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, what if he's destroying cartilage and muscle? We don't know.
Yeah, I noticed. This is going to sound stupid.
No.
But I notice if I'm laying on my side on the bed and I like tilt my body upwards, like my spine, like it, I can feel like the sections like all connecting with each other. like, where's, do I not have any cartilage in between my bones? Is that why I can feel that?
I don't know.
That like, it's freaks me out.
My biggest thing with my back is I know now when if I like lay on the floor, like it feels good to lay on the floor, right? Once in a while, Dale, right? Lay on a nice flat floor.
Yeah.
Lately when I do that, I can barely stand up after that. I don't know what happens. I feel like I can't breathe and my muscles just stop working. Oh. I'm trying to stand up. I'm like a 80-year-old man all of a sudden.
I know what you're talking about with the, you know, not being able to move. Weird. Like you need to like just stay one spot for minutes.
Yeah, like I'm fine after a minute or two, but it's so weird. I don't know. I don't know. I'm still playing Castlevania in my analog pocket. Love that thing.
Good. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I love these Castlevania games. I wish they went on forever, honestly. Explore the whole castle, you know?
Yeah.
Get new weapons and abilities. You know, I know I'm going to have to find some like iron boots or something because there's all these water levels that I know I got to sink to the bottom. I can't sink to the bottom to get to some doorway. I know that, or I got to drain the water. Yeah. It's probably going to be a drain the water situation, actually.
Right. Right.
So
there's no unholy heavy boots.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. Cause I just remembered the last game I played, there was you had to drain the water, unscrew the tap in the castle.
Mm. Good. That's glad. It makes me happy to hear that you're still balling out Castlevania. Yeah.
Any video games happening on your side of the?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I was going to say, you know, I could say that I'm like, I recently checked my Persona playtime. I'm at 53 hours.
Holy shit.
And I don't know, maybe I'm 30% of the way through the game. I don't know, but
wow.
I'm just putting that in perspective.
That's a lot of hours, Dale. I think he can quit. That's a lot.
I played during work a lot. That's,
got that out of the show.
Edit that out.
Boy G, boy golly G. All right, Dale. As promised, we watched for ourselves and the world Goku Midnight Eye episodes 1 and 2 from 1989.
My name's Goku. My left eye is a microcomputer terminal that's linked with every other terminal on Earth. Computers control the world, and I control them. Anything I see or hear can be instantly analyzed. I only have to think something and it's done. If I wanted to, I could hack into the launch codes of every nuclear power, send the missiles up, and destroy the planet. In every other way, I'm just your ordinary private detective, but I've got God's left eye.
And Goku Midnight Eye is about a private detective named Goku. A former cop, handsome, doesn't wear a shirt, but he wears a tie. No shirt and tie, but tie. Okay, you got that picture in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Full jacket and pants.
It is 2014, Chuck, so.
I mean, they got to make a live action version of this. This guy walking around like that.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't come across in anime because it's just anime, but you see someone's tan skin glistening under a suit and just a tie on top. I mean, it's like you're looking at that Chip and Dale sketch, you know, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so this guy's private eye, former cop, and some mysterious during one of his cases, he has to lose an eye, so he didn't die, basically. Saved his own life. But some mysterious benefactor hooked up Goku with a cybernetic eye, which is, Dale is, listen to this. The eye's hooked up to the internet. Satellite, a weather satellite. And he can request information and within seconds. Mere seconds. Unless there was the magic vetting, maybe it took minutes. This is 1989 after all. He gets information on whatever he wants. He can control machinery. He can unlock doors. He can do it all. Oh, also, he got this really cool staff that's like, in my head, it was like a Stiltman's leg. He got the staff. He can grow as long as he needs. Like, we're talking like five stories long, the staff.
It's
incredible.
It is half of his, it's at least half of his, what, ability? It's half of his superpower?
The things this
is
thing
the
can
staff.
Do. Yeah. It can punch holes in enemies. It can shoot lasers. He can hop buildings.
The force.
Yeah. It's incredible. But yeah, and you know, and what we get on these two, we get two separate cases. One is more of an origin, you know, half of it's sort of his origin, getting his eye and his staff. And yeah, it's very it's like cyberpunk setting, right, Dale?
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it's taken from Blade Runner, you know, the great tradition that Blade Runner was and is of sort of a film noir, but set in the future, right? Sort of like that classic detective, you know, oh, a dame walked into my office. I shouldn't have taken the case, but I did because she looked at me that way.
Right. Because of her eyes.
And yeah. Oh, and he smokes a lot of cigarettes. Yeah.
That's how he relaxes. He relaxes by drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes, and that's how he kind of calms down, which I don't know a lot about the combination of coffee and cigarettes.
Oh, it's an incredible combination.
Mm.
But you're right. I don't know if it's actually relaxing, but it's doing something.
I don't know if it's, yeah, right. But yeah, this, so I'm kind of like enamored with the idea that there's only two of these and they're both 45-ish minutes long and then that's it.
I know. I
like it. Like it was a failed experiment or something.
When I picked this, I was like, oh, since there's only two, they've got to be like parts one and two. Like I was expecting it to be like, oh, they just like were fleecing the video market and just split it up into two parts, you know?
Right.
To sell two double Especially, the tapes. But it really is. It's like two separate episodes and it could have gone on, but maybe that's the thing. Maybe not enough people were into Goku, so they didn't make any more. Because I was kind of hungry. Because like the first one is good and all, but that second one, they hit their stride on what made Goku work. I liked not having to deal with the origin, and just he was just like in his form, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna say it. I like the first one better than the second one, Chuck.
Wow.
But between the two of us, I mean it's a total package. Cuz I didn't dislike the second one. I really liked the second one, but the first one I liked that half of it was spent as an origin. It sort of laid the groundwork as Goku the man. And kind of sets up his personality and his work ethic before he gets Cyberdyne system model, you know, eyeball. But the second one was just good, and it's like standalone. So, it could have kept going. It's not like it was the opening and the closing of our boy Goku and his story. It could have been a series.
Especially because his benefactor was never revealed. And I assume that would have been, you know, some storyline down the line. Right?
I'm glad. I thought I missed something.
I know. There was part of me that was like, I thought like maybe the villain in the first episode was the one who gave him his power, his cybernetic eye. But it's not. It's definitely a mysterious person that was beaming thoughts into Goku's head, saying, check out this thing I just put in your head. It's cool.
You know, you figure all, I was like, it's gotta be a bad guy. Yeah. It's gotta be some guy.
I thought
there
was gonna be a big reveal
guy
at the end, that it was like the bad guy or whatever that did it. But nope.
Totally.
I love, I liked, you know what I loved? It's weird because it leaves you wanting more. But like all the little characters who have cybernetic body parts in this, but they don't make a big deal out of it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that gets made the big deal is his eyeball, basically. Because there's a lot of like cutscenes to the him like querying the satellite, you know, with his eyeball and stuff. But I love how small villains will just have like, this guy's got metal legs and he can like hop around and stuff. Or like that guy, mm-hmm. the very first guy in the opening scene has like the cybernetic tentacles that comes out of his arm. Loved it. I loved it. I love how it's just like, it's part of this, you know, cyberpunk world that everybody's got.
Right. It's just what it is.
Replacing flesh with some fun metal parts. You know, it's great.
I would venture to guess, Chuck, that, I mean, I'm no expert, but that this is anime.
Yeah, like, maybe.
This is a lot of anime. It's just, it's just little world details like that make you come back for more. Yeah. Because you want more, but they don't give you explanations, just exists in the world.
Yeah.
The sound effects in this were the same as like in the movie Alien, I think, right?
Oh, really?
When he's querying his eye.
Oh, that's whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like all that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that every time his eye did something, made that sound effect. So the viewer
knew. it was good for my soul to hear the inner, like to hear the eye working mechanically. Oh, yeah.
I only kind of wish the eye had some sort of like, you could, like when they did a close up on his eye, like it had some sort of tech you could see. That's like my only gripe about the eye.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You just like look like a normal eye.
Right. And they didn't, and the first one, they didn't really make light of it a whole lot. And the second one, they made a point to at least show his red eye glowing a lot more. True. Like it was.
Yeah.
And maybe because he was living with it for, you know, who knows how long. He was like living with his left eye. So he was like being cheeky with his one liners and the second one with his, you know, I'd give my left eye whatever.
Did he get, you know, I feel like the scripts got way cheekier the script got in the second episode. Like he was feeling his oats, right? These lines he was throwing out there. Yeah.
He was like a new man.
Yeah.
Or something.
I think his eye was changing him.
Because he was hyper confident. He knew.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was hyper confident. I gotta give it to him.
Now you watched it. Did you watch this on Amazon?
Okay, yes,
good.
Did.
Because I started watching Amazon. Also, can we look what AWS, whatever you guys are using over there to hold this file? Can we get an upgrade? Looks like garbage on my Google TV. This thing was giving me a pinwheel every 5 minutes. It took me like an hour to watch the first episode. I was dying, Dale.
Oh no! Yeah. That's not cool.
I mean, and that's not,
I didn't
accept, it's not like they got a bad file. It's just like whatever, you know, whatever drive was spinning up, it was taking a while.
That sucks, man. I didn't have that, but
I watched the second one on my computer and it was way faster.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why that was different though. But, but yeah, I was like, oh, this sucks. So I went to start to watch whatever was uploaded on YouTube. And I noticed the dub was different, first off, and all the, sensitive bits were cut out. Like maybe our girl with the, like, I mean, you saw the girl with the handlebars strapped to her back, but you didn't see the full picture, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh.
So yeah, I guess there's like different censored version out there. Maybe for the kids and, you know, I don't know. The kids in the 90s whose mom wouldn't let them buy the regular one. I don't know.
Yeah. That's.
But we should say, look, there's breasts in this.
There's breasts. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I gotta say, there's such a huge stigma around this. I had a pretty like, I think I, that's another thing. I like reason why I stayed away from anime so much, because it's like, oh, you're a pervert if you watch that stuff. You know, I always like kind of saw it as that, you know. But now I'm opening my mind. I'll watch any perverted trash put in front of me. I don't care. I'm open. Yes, man. I'm an open heart now. There's nothing wrong with me.
Oh.
Right? If I want to watch hand-drawn breasts, right? It's fine.
That makes me super happy to hear. It's true. Yeah. I, you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, I when I was of the age, I was always in search of pushing the envelope in anime. Yeah. Like, you know, I was looking without getting into the wicked stuff. So this would have been like right up my alley.
Yeah. I mean, this is the sweet spot, because it's not like, you know, whatever. I can't pronounce the name of it, but the famous tentacle porn one. It's not that, not as far as that one, but it's like, oh, it's just like watching, you know, it's like watching Blade Runner, because, you know, there's boobs in Blade Runner, you know, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly. You know. That's exactly right. But yeah, it was, I liked that was in there. I mean, it just contributes to, you know, the darker world and the heavier implication of the adult themes.
Oh yeah.
That was in this. Yeah. I did want to point out, I mean, I know the voice for the folks who know, the voice of Spike Spiegel in Cowboy Bebop is the voice of Goku. I mean, he's the voice of a million other anime as well, but.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I had no idea. I'm this is like seriously, this is probably like, not counting Studio Ghibli, this is probably like the fourth anime I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say slippery slope, but it's, you know, there's a lot out there, and for you to be like, you gotta get through the weeds. You gotta like get through a lot of the stuff until you hit on something you really like. I think it's probably easier nowadays, but you know, back in the day you were basically, you know, buying what you could from Suncoast Video.
Oh my God.
And anime was like $40.
I remember. Yeah. I mean, I never bought any, but that's probably why. Cause I remember going to Suncoast, looking at that rack, like it was the adult section basically. But then you look at the prices and you're like, oh my God, like who?
Yeah, no.
What children are able to afford? Like, I don't understand. I mean, not that they were four children, but holy crap.
Yeah, but like, it's like, you know, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do with yourself? You know? So it's probably easier now, but you know, back then word of mouth went a long way in trying new things. So I would have, that's all that to say, I would have never watched Goku Midnight Eye back in the day. But like the director of Goku Midnight Eye, he directed like Ninja Scroll, which is super famous. And I've definitely seen that for different reasons. I mean, but so yeah, I like the, you know, it was, I don't know if, I don't want to say it's like the animation style was, it seemed like it was, I'm out of my wheelhouse talking about this, but it was like, a bullpen style. Like it looked like many, many other animes of the time, you know?
Oh, okay.
But that's not to say it was bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just like, I liked how visually there was just enough different about the world to make it like into the cyberpunk realm, but it was a lot of it was grounded in reality.
Yeah, it was way more. Yeah, it was way more like a world we would recognize, as opposed to like some far flung crazy future. Like, you know,
right?
Like, I don't think there were no flying cars or any. We should say Goku drove a white Corvette. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, when I saw that logo, I was like, that's the Corvette logo, right? It's in the front of this car. I was like, that's weird.
Okay. He was driving like a 79 Corvette or something like that. It was wild, but I think it probably helped appeal to it probably made it so exotic to the people who would have been, who would have seen this in the to the masses at the time, who would have seen that more than we have. And then in the second one, like kid dream explosion when he builds that hyper futuristic weapon car.
Oh my God. That whole section was so strange because it like, it had almost no bearing on the story, right? Well, no, I guess he did use it. In
no.
The end. That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, but
but it was so much time spent on it.
Yeah, it was all, this car was all built for the conveyance of a missile that would like, and it was just such a throwaway line. He's like, now that I've built this, the manual says that it'll fire a missile that'll like dissolve and then reappear right before it makes impact. Yeah. Like, all this time was spent building this car.
And he shot.
But it was like a kid's wet dream. Other than the fact that there's boobs everywhere, a kid would have loved. Yeah. I mean,
he ordered a kit to fire the missile right at him. The missile, like, you can still kind of see it, but it goes invisible and it goes through his chest. Yeah. It's fine. And then it explodes on the other side. It's incredible. The dumbest missile technology. I mean, I guess it could be useful. I don't know. I guess if you could skip the whole Earth, you know, to come out the other side of a planet. I don't know.
Right. But you'd still need to build a car first in order for this missile to be fired. Like, no other weapon system.
Yeah. Now, was that his Corvette that got changed to this black Batmobile situation?
No, it was a whole different new car.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. I thought we were doing like an extreme upgrade. Okay. All right. That's cool. All right. So he's going to need another garage is what you're saying. There's no,
I like how he, how about when he apologized to the robot builders? He's like, sorry to make you work on a Sunday, but you're getting paid overtime for this one. You're getting paid time and a half, he said, or something like that.
Oh my God.
He had it. He had it.
He had it. Yeah. The second episode was about this girl comes to him with a case where she's like, I'm going to give you $3 million to find my brother. No questions asked. And I have to go with you. And it quickly, it gets super hairy. She's being chased by these mechanical dogs that Goku has to dispatch in the sewers. Mm. And,
luckily he has a staff.
God, the staff.
The staff
can do everything. Quickly, you know, we find out it's a little more complicated. It's like her father turned her brother into I can't even describe the technology that I don't know if I missed a scene, if I blanked out when they were describing her brother's powers, but you know, he's like he's like the Incredible Hulk. He just keeps, he's like ripped. He's like uncontrollably angry and he's like a roid freak, but he also can like make, I don't know, laser beams appear out of his hands and his favorite moves was like decapitating people with his laser beam palms.
Yeah.
But he was also kind of like a human bomb, right? Like he would just explode, right?
Yeah. No, everything.
It was awesome.
It was all that.
It was so cool. I loved this guy.
It was.
And
he was,
yeah. So like her sister wanted to save him, but it turned eventually he had gone so far that he was no longer going to be human. So it became we got to kill him before he destroys the world or something, you know?
Alas.
Yeah. And there's like the big reveal at the end that their father is not their father. He was just a guy who adopted her. And then created him out of a clone of himself. that was like, all right, you guys, this is too much. I don't know if you needed the clone part, but.
And then she was provided the embryo.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot. That sucks. I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, God.
That does suck.
And then he kissed him, like the person who was playing her dad kissed her. And I was like, God damn, this mother effer.
Goku was beside himself for all that went down, you know?
Yeah, so he built himself a car with a transporting missile.
Mm-hmm. And luckily there was a manual that came along with it that he could just read with his eye. He just downloaded it to his eye.
God, I loved every time he talked to that weather satellite where he got all his information from. It was just like querying. I loved how it was just like, he was just saying out commands like DOS commands, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like he was like, I remember he was like searching a database, like file by this, you know, I don't know. I loved it.
They really, he really leaned into that in the second episode too.
Yeah.
The first one, you just visually saw kind of what was happening. But the second one, he was like query, database, subfolder, subfolder.
It's awesome.
And the output, the output of what they had on the screen, like, I don't know if they animated all that, but some of it looked real.
Yeah, I know. It was impressive.
Yeah.
Man, this Goku guy.
He was really good.
Yeah.
This Goku guy. I mean, God, I should cosplay as this Goku guy. God.
I know. Right? Look, I was a little surprised when he took off his jacket and he had the vest on underneath. I thought that was a cool touch. Because I thought he was just like,
oh yeah,
all open down there. But no, he had that vest.
Mm-hmm. No undershirt, but a vest.
And the tie.
And a jacket.
Tie, still there.
The tie, yeah.
The eye of God.
It was, I had a great time.
Yeah, me too. In my Letterboxd review, I said, like, I think I found my way into anime. Like, I feel like I found some trash that sort of like is enabling me to get into this more. So I think I mentioned it before, but I watched this other one called Black Magic. Did you ever watch this? Did I talk about this already? I don't think I did. Black Magic M66.
Oh, okay.
And this was just like one episode long. And this was pretty cool because it was super Terminator vibes. Like it's funny, everyone rips on it for ripping off Terminator, but the manga it's based on came out pre-Terminator. So, you know, I ordered that shit. So that's en route to me so I can read it.
Yes, dude.
But that was a fun little one. I'd recommend you checking that one out. It's just like 50 minutes long. Single story.
Heck yes.
Yeah, I ordered the Goku manga too, because I'm dying to see what this stuff looked like on the page. Maybe I will learn the origin, who gave him this eye, Dale, and I'll be able to tell you.
So, I think Pop Fenton took a picture of his mangas.
So he's got the Viz collections.
Beautiful.
I found the early bastard. Viz. When they first started translating comics in America or manga, they would make them they would look like our comic books basically. So I bought the set of those. I think there were 6 issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whoa. I don't know if it's the whole thing. It might not be. So I might have to get that other volume. I have a feeling this might be just the first story, but, I'll report back on that.
Amazing. Thank you. Please keep us in the loop.
Yeah. It's my duty.
We're all counting on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish. Yeah, I mean, I have found some good Letterboxd lists to sort of like dive into this stuff, this OVA stuff from the 80s and 90s. So, because otherwise, it's like, it's, you know, trying to just search on like Amazon or like even like Crunchyroll. It's like, I like made a Crunchyroll account because I saw Goku was on there, but like, just the sorting stuff. There's no way to like, you can't search by year or like anything or like this type of stuff. I don't know. I mean, plus I'm like in the dark, stabbing in the dark. I don't know a whole lot about anime. So I'm like learning as I go. But yeah, I'm glad to open my own horizons and I hope you had fun.
I did. I had a great time. I would love to do more anime in the future.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's another avenue that we can explore together.
Mm-hmm. Folks out there, if you have any recommendations, let us know. Yeah. You know, it's murky waters.
Dale, how about when the decapitated stripper bot with the handlebars and he's holding her head up and she using her head like a laser beam because she shot lasers at her
My
mouth.
God.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So cool.
That was, yeah, that was, he, and then he referred to her head as like a handy tool, a handy little toy or something like that. Amazing.
Incredible.
We have letters. We have letters that were sent to us to batandspiderpod@gmail.com. We also have the official, obviously, Bat and Spider hotline at 315-544-0966. Now, let me get to that email. I'm opening emails. I'm navigating here. Here we go.
It's like having a cybernetic eye was like if they invented Siri in 1989 and you had to like memorize commands like that. You wouldn't just be like, hey Siri, what's the capital of whatever? You had to be like query, yeah, world map database, you know.
Otherwise the eye wouldn't respond.
It would have no idea. Yeah. It would probably just...
The eye would be like, oh, he's just having a conversation with somebody out there.
Or it would just overheat and smoke. All right. Sorry, I interrupted.
Hobo salaries email.
Oh, hobo.
No subject.
Good.
And the subject line. Hey, boys, I've been re-listening to old episodes this week. Oh, boy. Hobo, oh boy. Please do not. We should take the first 100 episodes offline so nobody can listen to them. Right? Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm into it. I love it.
I've been re-listening to old episodes this week at work to pass the time. Went all the way back and just heard episode 2 on Tetsuo the Iron Man. It's a short movie, clocking in just over 60 minutes, and I know how you two hate a marathon. I recently saw a movie I'd been aching to watch for years called Bloody Muscle Bodybuilder in Hell.
Oh my God.
Otherwise known as the Japanese Evil Dead.
Ooh.
It hit Shudder not too long ago, and if you're looking for another 1 hour blast of Japanese madness, look no further. Whoa. Also, have either of you delved further into Tetsuo? I watched The Body Hammer, and I gotta say, I might like it better than the first one. At the very least, it's more narratively satisfying.
Wow, Hobo. Thank you for going back. Yeah, that's the only thing that would give me pause about erasing those episodes is, like, I love Tetsuo. And I know I probably sounded like a baby boy.
My God.
Just creaming pants over it. But you know what? It's out there. It's got to be out there. But yeah, I did. Not long after that, I did watch Tetsuo 2, and it's like Tetsuo, but a little slightly better budget, and just everything's amped up, and it's super awesome. I have that box set of Shinya's stuff that I think I watched about half the movies in there. I gotta knock that sucker down.
That's a sharp box set.
It's beautiful,
I'll tell you. A little behind the scenes in terms of, like, I was just looking at the numbers.
Okay.
Today. Yeah. I was just looking at them, Hobo. And since you went back and listened, God, still can't believe you did that. Our second episode, The Iron Man, is not the second most listened to episode.
That's weird.
That is weird.
What is
it? So we got number one, episode one, unfortunately, Driller Killer.
Yeah.
It's probably heads and shoulders. It's got to be the worst episode.
Should we
right?
just replace
I'm not
gonna that?
Listen to confirm.
Should we replace that with something? Like, God, I don't know.
Like
an episode of some other podcast?
That's probably the best idea.
And
then we skip to number three, Bird with a Crystal Plumage, and then we go back to number two, Tetsuo the Iron Man. That's the top three episodes.
What the heck?
Yeah, it is weird.
Hmm.
I know. Animals.
Wow. You think that's just like Tetsuo, never heard of it?
I'm
not going to listen.
I think so.
Skip that one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Geez, that's it for this week. So that's it for this week in terms of letters. It's
Hobo, bless you for writing in. Thank you so much. Incredible. Incredible letter. And I watched listed Bloody Muscle Body Horror Builder in Hell. I said that wrong, but I watched listed it. 62 minutes. God. Incredible.
Wow. Is this the month where we only do 60-minute movies? December? 60-minute December?
Is this our life where we only do 60-minute movies ever? Yeah. Yes.
We could do, I envision us doing a film festival where all submissions have to be under 60 yes. minutes long.
The Small Bladder Film Festival, sponsored by Dale and Chuck. Does Hobo have a Letterboxd? And if not, why not? I'm just throwing that out there.
All right. I'm looking around.
Dale's gonna pick us a movie. Oh, Dale, we didn't even talk about the music in this. I mean, the music in the end credits of episode 2 of Goku. This song called Fighting in the Danger. I am just in love with this song. It's by, what's her name? Yuki Katsuragi. Rest in peace. She just died this June, I believe.
Oh, rest in peace.
God, I mean, this is up there with your, what is this? This is like your 80s power pop. You know, Corey Hart, you know, just like, she's got like a raspy voice, but it's powerful. You know it's powerful. Just incredible, incredible, upbeat, but also a little tinge of sadness because she's fighting in the danger, you know?
Yeah. It's, I love it. It's definitely an earworm. It'll get inside you. That was the longest part of the night, Chuck, where I just sit and stare at my computer until I find something. I didn't have anything picked out.
All right, well, I'll entertain the listeners with tabs I have open on my Chrome that I've had open for months. So this one, I've had this tab open ever since we did the episode. What was the Lady Robocop, the Japanese Robocop episode movie we watched?
Lady Battle Cop,
because it was, I think it was inspired by this Japanese television show, Kidu Kaiji Jibon, which translates to Robot Police Jibon. And it's the same idea. It's a cop in a robo suit. And it looks amazing. Wow, I didn't think they ripped off the bipedal Robocop. Oh my gosh. And he's got a sweet car. There's 52 episodes of this thing. The opening catchphrase of the series is, "This is the drama of a girl's and a young man's hearts, which love people and protect justice. It is considered the first metal hero series of the Heisei period due to the death of Emperor Hirohito occurring during its run." Fighting in the danger.
Mm-hmm. Fighting in the danger. Fighting.
Fighting in the danger.
Fighting.
Oh, you know what? I'll talk about this. Albert Pune's wife has a GoFundMe so that she can do a memorial for him in his home state of Hawaii. And there's a goal of 10,000. They're only like $475 from their goal. So, I mean, by the time you listen to this, they'll probably hit it. But if you want to help out, just search GoFundMe Albert Pune's memorial. You'll find it. Oh, also, and of interest to nerds, they're going to spread his ashes at sea with his family, high school friends, and movie fans. Together we'll celebrate his life and career as a radical, fanatical B-movie creator, director. The event will also be filmed to complete his documentary entitled Albert's Puniverse.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. Yeah.
So I definitely look forward to seeing that whenever that hits the video store shelves.
I'm inspired, Chuck, by another tape deck podcast.
Okay.
We have on the network. And that podcast is Twin Vipers with my buddy Jonesy and Fam.
Wow.
Okay. Doing a kung fu movies.
Twin Vipers.
So after like mainlining the last couple episodes all at once, I was like, you know what? Let me try to pick something that fits our show in the vein of Twin Vipers. I had this movie under the name, I knew it as Chinese Super Ninjas.
Great name.
From 1982. On Letterboxd, you can find it under the name Five Element Ninjas.
Wow. Okay. 1982, directed by Chang Che. Stronger than the dragon, more powerful than the tiger. Call them the Super Ninjas. A young martial artist seeks revenge on the ninja who kills his martial arts brothers and teacher. There's a lot of good scores here, Dale.
There's a lot of good scores. I'm inspired by some Bat and Spider listener scores.
Yeah, there's a lot of love out there for this. Okay.
Chuck, is it possible we're the last two people on Earth to even hear this movie?
Probably. I mean,
was this featured in a podcast or a news story?
Well, I'll tell you after I read the top reviews, because people love talking about where they heard about certain movies.
Touché.
Incredible, Dale. I love it. You know what? I don't want to know anymore. I just want to experience this.
Just going to watch it.
The best way to go to the movies, Dale. Looks like this is a rental, at least for folks in the mainland. 1982, the year of my birth. So happy 40th anniversary to Five Element Ninjas.
Oh, yeah. Topical.
Yeah.
40 years young. Yeah. So that's it. So let's... I didn't think about the runtime, but maybe it'll be a quick recording anyway, you know? If we
yeah. This week. No, I don't care. We'll figure it out. We can just skip the front matter.
Formalities.
Yeah.
Front matter, the Tommy Hal to talk.
Yeah.
Until next week, everybody, please go to batandspider.com. Everybody, please join our Discord. Check out our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/batandspider. We love you. Right? Is that true, Chuck?
I'm going to say, yeah, it's true. As much as you can love people you've never met.
We love.
It's love. Yeah, I think it's love. As much as Tommy Howell loves picking up his guitar, knocking the dust out of his hat, and singing a tune into a microphone, into a tin can, excuse me, then it's that type of love right there.
It is. It is that type of love. You're right.
God, I just love this. I love the dead air, honestly. Sometimes I wish we could leave it all in, really. It's comforting. It's not bad. It's Great. All right, Dale, I love you. Good night.
Night, night, pal. I love
good
you.
Night. Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.